I just want to thank Rabbi Simon for giving the shiur today, Be'ez Hashem, on Hilchos Mezuzah. Today will be the first part of two-part series, today and tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. And there's an accompanying set of Ma'ar Makomos that you're welcome to look at. I'm going to have to excuse myself, I'm not going to be able to stay for the shiur, but B'chavad Rav, thank you, Rabbi Simon, for joining us, for taking the time both today and tomorrow, B'chavad Rav.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Orlian. It's always a pleasure to come and share Divrei Torah on Inyanei Mezuzah and maybe sometimes Kavatarich or whatever. Okay. I always tell Rabbi Orlian, if the Emes has a cancellation, I'm willing to give Kavatarich at any the dateline at any time. Okay, we've and he's taken me up on that a couple of times. Okay. But thank you so much. It's good to see everybody who's here. New faces, old faces. And, you know, to make this year more Labor Day, feel free to speak up and ask questions. And, you know, it makes this year more exciting. So I don't like lecturing. I like active participation. So please feel free to actively participate and make it inch more interesting. Okay. Hilchos Mezuzah. Okay. So basically, Hilchos Mezuzah is all about understanding the pasuk in Chumash, Uksavtam Alm Bezuzos Beisecha Uvisharecha. And if we understand what is Beisecha and Misharecha and Mezuzos, then basically we've got most of the halachas of Mezuzah. So let us try to understand what is Beisecha first. What does the word Beisecha mean? You know, in modern Hebrew, bayis is a house, right? So that's what a bayis is. So is that, but the question is in halacha, when we're trying to understand a pasuk in Chumash, it might not necessarily have the same definition as it is in modern Hebrew. And this is, you know, not only for this halacha, in many areas of halacha, this concept applies. So if Beisecha means the house, could one say that it's sufficient to put one mezuzah up? I'm sure there are people there that are not so learned that will just have a mezuzah on their front door. Right? I'm sure there are people like that that only have a mezuzah on the front door and zehu. And because the pasuk says, you know, we have it on our bayis, and that's it. And this is even quoted in Poskim. It's even quoted in Poskim that there was a minhag just to have a mezuzah on the front door. And we'll see where this is quoted. And there's a whole discussion about that minhag. Where does it come from? Is it just a minhag that comes from lack of knowledge? Or is it something more to that minhag? And and the Mariel, some of Hilchos Mezuzah is based on tshuvas from the Mariel, and he discusses this practice of having a mezuzah just on the front door. And one would simply say that idea is coming from just the concept of the pasuk, Pesecha, your bias. But in Halacha, we don't assume like that. In Halacha, we assume that every room is considered Pesecha, even though, you know, we would call a room in modern Hebrew, we call a cheder or something like that. We wouldn't necessarily call, you know, every room a bais, mishteatzmo. But like Rabbi Nachman Cohen once pointed out to me from the Prima Godim in Hilchas Bedikas Chametz, where it says that you do Bedikas Chametz on every bias, every room is considered a bias. Every room is considered a bias for Shnei Atzma. And therefore, every room would require its own mezuzah. And it's not only a halacha in the front door of a house, but every room. And the Gemara says in Sukkah on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph that every place that has the dimensions of Dala Amos and Dala Amos, which Rav Moshe Feinstein says is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Rav Chaim Noah is about 6 feet and 3 inches and 6 feet and 3 inches. Is Chayiv. And if you want to see this minute, the Ramah quotes this minute in Resh Pei Zayin Siv Beis. He says, a minute in the Spash of Israel, Rova Olam Somchim Amazuza Achas Shaosin al Pesach Batein. He says that many people rely on one mezuzah. This is Resh Pei Zayin Siv Beis. Yeredea. The Inu Nochon, the Inhem Amashi Shayismachu. Achain Kol Yere Shemayim Sakin Beisu Kadino, Mcholap Sochim Machayav. So that's the Maril Betruva. But if you look at the truth of the Mariel, it wasn't so simple that it was just, you know, lack of totally baseless. It was like basically that the rooms that they had were really like one big room. And you opened up the door, it was one big room, and there were like little partitions and things like that. So there was a question whether these little enclaves and things like that really needed it. But it seems clear from the Shut Mariel that if those people would have homes like people have today, where it's clearly defined, different very big rooms, clearly defined as separate entities, then it would, even these individuals would have put up a mezuzah on every single door. So Beisecha is this minhag that, and that's what he says. It's interesting. The Rambam writes, "Rov olam somchim al mezuzah achas she'osim al pesach batayim." But then he writes, "Ve'ino nochem, ve'ino lehem al mashe yismochu." All right. So, and then he says, "Lochem kol yirei shemayim should put it up on every door." And in fact, one could even forward a claim that a front door would not need a mezuzah. Why so? Because a lot of times a front door opens into a little foyer that's not dalet al dalet. And therefore, if it's a little foyer that's not dalet al dalet, so maybe one could claim that that room is not chayiv mezuzah, and hence the front door wouldn't be chayiv mezuzah. So that would be Rav Abadi Shlita in his old house in Lakewood, not the house he lives in now, but in his old house in Lakewood. That's the way it was. That the front door didn't have a mezuzah because it opened up into a little foyer that that was not dalet al dalet. So everybody knows no chochmas. If it's not dalet al dalet, that's it. You putter. That would make it very hard for the Mishulachim who are trying to find out who's Jewish and who's the Tanakhim. But even that, people were no way to put it in the front door. So why are we no way to put on the front door if it's what I'm telling you is there is a possibility that just fakir, that maybe some front doors are not even chayiv in mezuzah. So if you look in the Pesachei Tshuva, so the Pesachei Tshuva, when he discusses Resh Pei Vav, the Shulchan Aruch is Resh Pei Vav, Sif Yud Gimel. So in Sif, in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, Resh Pei Vav, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, in the Pesachei Tshuva, it says B'Sefer Chamude Daniel, Chaf Yud. What does Chaf Yud mean? Chaf Yud. No, what do you say?
It's Sayyad.
Savya. In other words, apparently when the Pesachei Tshuva wrote it, it was only the Savyat. Just today in the Hilchas Avelis year, we were doing a piece in the Birka Yosef, a tshuva from Rav Chaim Kafusi, and it said Savyat. And then Rav Ram Levitt looked up and Machon Yerushalayim had printed it. So we were able to see the tshuva inside. So Rabbi Menachem Butler, he got me the Sefer Chamudi Daniel that printed some of the Ksaviyat, so we could see a little bit. But he writes here, he says near the Dafke Beis Dira Tzarv Dafke Sheidal Al Dal Al Beis Shar Mepeses Vegina Fiu Leisbu Dal Al Dal Chayov. So he says that that if it's not Dalet, that a Beishar, what does a Beishar mean? A Beishar means an area that you, a passageway. Passageway. You don't do anything there. It's just a passageway. So he says a passageway, a Beishar, doesn't need Dalet on Dalet. Doesn't need Dalet on Dalet. And what's the pshat? Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman showed me the Rashash in Masech the Sukkah and Dav Gimel, where we have all these halachas of Dalet al Dalet, explains that Dalet al Dalet is you can't live in a place that's not Dalet al Dalet. It would be too tafuf, as we say. Won't be able to live normally. But if it's a place where you don't live there, you just pass through, it's a passageway. So then, even if not Dalet al Dalet, so the din of Dalet al Dalet is only in the Makom Dira. But if it's part of a Dira, but it's not the Makom that you stay, you don't stay in the hallway, you pass through, so then it wouldn't have to be Dalet al Dalet. So in the Sefer, there's a Sefer in Hilchos Mezuzah. Maybe you look it up for me on your computer, you'll get the name. With Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, Rav Aaron Feldman, his son wrote a Sefer on Hilchos Mezuzah. What's the name, Sam? I'm sure you'll find it in a second, and you'll tell me the name of the Sefer on Hilchos Mezuzah by the son of Rav Aaron Feldman, the Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael. He writes that the Minhag Ha'olam is to follow this Chamude Daniel, and to put a mezuzah on a passageway, even though the passageway is not Dalet al Dalet. And we're going to see that, you know, Dalet al Dalet might mean also that it has to be both in width and in length. You know, so clearly, like a hallway is not going to be, it might be Dalet in length, but not Dalet in width. And if you hold like the opinions that you need Dalet in width and length, it's not. So like it's the standard foyer that since, you know, when you walk into some, you know, big homes is not Dalet al Dalet, but still people put it on. Everybody's the purist. He holds that, no, that the Gemara says dalal al dalal, it's always dalal al dalal. There's no exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says in Sukkah Dav Gimel that if there's no dalal al dalal, it's not a bias, it's not chayiv mezuzah. And therefore, he didn't put up in his own home in Lakewood on the front door.
It's agur b'halayach.
Yeah, agur b'halacha, yeah. Yeah, that's the sefer. Agur b'halacha, it's a very good sefer. So he writes that it seems that the minhag olam is that we put it up on a hallway. So that would be, as I believe he explains, Rabbi Feldman and the Sefer Agur Balacha, that would be like a passageway. Like the foyer, what do you do in the foyer? It's a passageway to get into the house. So it wouldn't have to be dalal al dalal, and hence the front door would require a mezuzah according to that. But if you're a purist, like Rabbi Badi is, so it's dalal al dalal, dalal al dalal, nothing to talk about, you know? And therefore, he wouldn't have. But most people, the minhag olam seems that most people do put it on the front door, even if it's opening up into a narrow foyer, narrow passageway. Yes, Moshe?
Rabbi, if it's not about from Dira and it's not dal al dal, then why is it not leave together Besef?
The answer is that it is a makom dira, because even though you don't, meaning it's not technically a makom dira because you don't camp out there, but it's part of the general home, which is a makom dira. In other words, so it has a connection to your dira because it leads you in to the home, which ultimately will lead you into the kitchen where you're going to eat, and the dining room where you're going to eat, and the bedroom where you're going to sleep, etc. So that's the story. But if you look in the Chamud de Daniel, he says another chiddush. Look back, if you have the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the packet as well. Reish Peivos Sifkat Yud Aleph. He writes again. Near Dafka Beis Dira Tzarech Dafka Shei Dala Al Dala Beis Shar Umpeses Vegina Afil Leis Bu Dala Al Hayom Ve'od Nira B'mi Sheyesh Lo Bayis Godov Yesh Lo Chador V'Kitanim Aliyach Shom Chachotzim V'Hayom V'Bizuza Adkan. Meaning, if you have a big room, and adjacent to the big room you have small rooms, but today we will call that a closet. Small rooms, which you would put something in there, even though it's not dalal al dalid, you will also be chayev in mezuzah, provided that it's a walk-in closet. Because if you don't walk in, then it's not. There was to be a bias. Pasuk says beisecha, the Gemara darshins derech biascha, has to be something that you walk into. So if you just put your arms out into a closet to reach your shirts, and you never walk into it, it won't be chayiv. But if it's a bigger closet where it's walk-in, but the Hamud Daniel says, so there, that's what the Milchas Yitzchak explains. If it's not walk-in, nothing to talk about. It's not going to be chayiv in the Zuz according to any sheet. But if at least it's walk-in closet, so then you should put, according to the Hamud Daniel, you should put up a mezuzah going into the closet. Because why? Because for the same idea that it's dalet al dalet is a din in living quarters. But so if it's, I can't have living quarters if it's not dalet al dalet, I'll suffocate. I can't do that. But you know, the shoes and the suits, you know, they can manage. They'll be okay. And it's so therefore it serves its function even when it's not dalet al dalet. So therefore it would be chayiv in mezuzah as well, even if it's not dalet al dalet. So it's one, as Rav Gutman put out from the Rashash, this Chamud Daniel, the two chidushim or the beishar, not requiring dalet al dalet, and the closet not requiring dalet al dalet if it's usable in the way it is, which most closets are usable even if they're not dalet al dalet, it would be chayiv in mezuzah. So if you assume, so there are different opinions whether is this the halacha like the Chamud in Daniel. So Rav Abadi is of the opinion that no, dal al dalet, dal al dalet. What are you changing the halacha from the Gemara? And the Chamud in Daniel has this new chiddush that based on the Gemara, what the Rashash calls based on the Gemara, chazi lemilse. It's fit for its purpose. Chazi lemilse. So Mamela, it would be chayiv even if it's not dal al dal. But again, if it's not walk in, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about because there was no knisa. You have to have a knisa. If you just put your hand, knisa means knisa with your body. If you just put it in your hands, that's not a knisa. So I tell people that meikir then they're not chayiv, but if they want, they could put it up, you know, going into the house. And especially if the house is a house that you own. If you don't own the house, you're just renting. So according to, as Rav Shachter pointed out, according to most poskim, it's only a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Because the pasuk says, beisecha, your house. If you're only renting, it's not beisecha. So it's only d'rabbanan. So it's only d'rabbanan. So the question is, how many chumras do you have to put when it's only d'rabbanan? But if it's a d'raisa, that's a whole new story. Then, you know, if you buy a house, then that would be, so Shechel put that, then it would be much more, stringent, etc. But if you look in the Chidushi Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the same page in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Pei Vav, Sifu Gimel, so he writes another idea. It's a question what he says, but I'll tell it over to you the way the Oilam says over the Rebbe Kiva Eger, even though there could be different pshat in the Rebbe Kiva Eger. But the Oilam says, pshat in Rebbe Kiva Eger, is that something that's not dalet al dalet is potter only mitzad atzma. But mitzad its adjacent room would be chayiv. It means like this. Let's say you have a big room. And then in the big room, there are a bunch of walk-in closets in the big room. Right? So Rabbi Kivege says, don't follow the Chamud in Daniel and put it going into the closet because it's not dalet al dalet. Like Rabbi Bai said, it's not dalet al dalet. So what are you doing? But he says, no, but put it on the right side going out of the closet into the adjacent room, which is dalet al dalet. So say you have this big room, you know, and there are a lot of closets. So don't put the mezuzah going into the closet because it's not dalet al dalet. And if you don't hold from the Chamud in Daniel, dalet al dalet is a chok v'lo yavar. But maybe it should be chayev from the perspective of the big room. So therefore, you would put the mezuzah on the right side going into the big room. Not on the right side going into the closet, but on the right side going into the big room. Now, obviously, if you hold like this, then you can't hold like Rabbi Kiveg, I mean, like the Chamud in Daniel. You know, some people have this notion, so put it on both sides. So that's like, you know, that's weird. You know, I wouldn't recommend that. That's like weird. Even though, is it Baltosif? So according to most sheet, this is not Baltosif. Because Mamanavshach, one is wrong. Now, this halacha that has to be on the right side, has to be on the right side. You know, because, you know, is Likuva. If you put it on the wrong side, then you're finished. You spent all this money on a mezuzah and you wasted the money because you put it on the wrong side. Not only wasted the money, and then you were vatal mitzesei because the side of the door that's supposed to have it doesn't have it. So you managed messed up. So therefore, So I think the Maram Shik has one place that it could be Baltosif to put on both sides. But no, you have to have a hurrah of which should be the side to put it on, not to do it on both sides. If you would put two mezuzahs on the same side, that would be Baltosif. What was the Shaila? I remember several years ago when Rabbi Rakefet Shlita from Gruss came to visit NYU, so it was always exciting to speak to Rabbi Rakefet. So he told me that there's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe written to him. So he told me where to look. Sure enough, I found it. The tshuva that was written to Rabbi Rakefet. Of course, then his name wasn't Rakefet. It was Rothkopf. So it's written in the old name. And he told me this is when he was living in the Bronx. You know, he lived in the Bronx. Rav Shechter lived there in the Bronx. So imagine this. I'm sure you've all seen this scenario that I'm going to depict now. You see a house, an old house, and a little mezuzah there. And there's probably like 10 coats of paint that was painted over this mezuzah in the past 60 years, right? And who knows what's under that, you know? You hope there's a mezuzah there. Is it kosher? Is it there? You know? So, and to get it out, to check it, is like, you know, so Rabbi Rakefet asked Rav Moshe, let's forget what's in there. Let's just get another mezuzah. We'll put it up and leave that mezuzah there. If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, it's not good. And this way, I don't have to spend all the effort in trying to unearth that mezuzah. And Rav Moshe said, if you do that, that's potential baltosif, because it could be that mezuzah inside was kosher. And now you're putting a second mezuzah, and it's on the same side of the door. So if it's possible, you're right. But we don't know. We don't know what's in there. It could be meikra din it's kosher. And if meikra din it's kosher, then you violate baltosif. So there would be baltosif, two mezuzahs on one side. But on two different sides, it wouldn't be, but it's not. It's awkward. Most poskim think there are some that were for this idea, but I'm not from those people that support this idea of having two mezuzahs, because you're not sure which is the right way to do it. No, you should be machriya. Get someone to be machriya the shiloh and put it on one side, not on both sides. So if you follow Rabbi Kiveger, then the closet is going to have the mezuzah on the right side going out of the closet. If you follow the Chamudei Daniel, it's going to be on the right side going into the closet. So you have to make up your mind. So again, you could say, I'll do like some want to say to do both, but it's nisht. So you should decide. Now, a lot of poskim like this Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's a little sharp. You know. I'm not a fan. There's a question what Rabbi Kiva, but this is the way the Oilam says it over. Why don't I like this Rabbi Kiva Eger? Well, this psak attributed to Rabbi Kiva Eger, even though it's a question whether Rabbi Kiva Eger really even said it. Okay, that's a separate discussion. But what don't I like about it? What I don't like about it, of this again, it could be that some deny Rabbi Kiva Eger said it. So, but this psak that's at least attributed to Rabbi Kiva Eger, that is that the yisod in Hilchas Mezuzah is beisecha derech bi'oscha, going in. So when you go into a room, you're going into the room, and when you come out of the room, what is that called? Is that called going into the next room or leaving the room you were in? So Lachara, the Chesed Lavram, seems to say this, that backtracking is not called Kenisa. Backtracking is called Yitzia. So when, so you don't say, no one's going to tell you, say I have a room yet. You can only get into the room through one door. So I go to the right side going in. But now I'm going to leave the room. So maybe I should have another mezuzah on the right side going into the hallway. So why don't we say that? So al korcha, we don't say that because the knisa rishon is called the knisa. And when you're undoing your knisa by going out, backtracking from what you did originally, that's not called knisa, even though you're going into the hallway. That's called yitziyah. And yitziyah is not machayev in mezuzah. That's why there's a whole discussion if you have emergency exit doors. Where do you put the mezuzah on an emergency exit door? So Rav Barishit is you don't because it's only yitziyah, assuming that it, the emergency exit door just goes into the street, you know. It's not into an enclosed area. Some say, like Shechter mentioned, maybe wants to put it to go down Knesset, but Lamaisa, as Ravadi pointed out, if it's just Yitzia is not Machayev and Mezuzah. So that's why I tell people not to do this quote with Rabbi Akiva Eger. Either they're going to do it going in or not at all. Whereas if you want to say the Chamudi Daniel is a Chumra Ba'alma, so okay, so don't put it up. If you want to say it's not a, you know, but this idea that putting it on the outside, putting it going into the adjacent room on the right side of the walk-in closet, to me, that's putting on a mezuzah derech yitziyah, which is not mechayef. And that's why... And again, as I said, as Rabbi Moshe Tuchman pointed out, it's not clear 100% that Rabbi Kiva Eger ever said it. But surely the way the Oilam says over the Rabbi Kiva Eger is the way I presented it to you. And Afal Pikein, the Mahalach I use in Psak Halacha for this thing is either to follow the Chamud de Daniel or not to do it at all. But not to do.
Could I ask Rabbi a question on that?
Who's speaking?
It's Rabbi Tiovar Zhang.
Okay. You want to put on your camera?
I can't at the moment. I will, sorry. Yeah. Hopefully soon.
Okay. I always like it. If everyone can put on the cameras, it's always easier. So we see each other, it's always good. If you can't, you can't. I understand. Not everyone can always put it on. But I always appreciate in the world of Zoom. You know, when we can see each other face to face, we're not in the same room, or the same, sometimes not even the same country, the same state, or the same anything. At least we could see each other. It makes it much more geschmack. Okay, but I'll still listen to what you have to say.
In regards to the mezuzah on the emergency exit, Rabbi said that he would possibly not to put it on because it's used as a yitzia, and not, I guess, a knisa, but what if it's used, like a lot of times emergency exits, they're not just used as, like, you know, in times of emergency, they're used also as exits in, you know, regular times, you know, let's say to leave from a shul to the parking lot or something like that. Would Rebbe still say in that situation?
Right, and assuming the parking lot is not enclosed necessarily. Right. If it's an enclosed area, then maybe that's itself a mokum chiyuv, maybe. Understand? But let's assume that it just goes out into the street, but that not an enclosed area.
Mm-hmm. And what if that same door is used sometimes as a knisa?
Like, oh, that's different. If it's used sometimes as a knisa, then maybe like something similar to Rav Shechter mentioned, then you'd put it, you know, going in to the building.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, so that's the.
Rabbi, a bathroom's patur is not a deer, right? Or it's like you can't put shame.
Well, a bathroom is patur because it's not a deer shall cover. It's not a deer shall cover. That was the discussion I think that Rabbi El Shulman speaks about that, about the kashra, I think, from the Chazon Ish, that according to this Rabbi Kiva Eger, maybe you should put it on going outside of the, into the adjacent room. So to me, I'm not bothered by that because I'm not one who's supporting this psak. Again, it's not I'm Chas v'Shalom, not Rabbi Akiva Eger's Bar Plukta, but first of all, there is other shitas that say Beferish from Chesed Lavram, say Chesed Lavram says against Rabbi Akiva Eger, and then many Achronim point out that Rabbi Akiva Eger maybe is saying not what we think he's saying, or something similar to Daniel, something like that. So that's how some people have pointed out. Okay.
Rav Simon, is your impression that the Minhag Olam is to follow the Chamudei Daniel more with regards to the front door as opposed to the walk-in closet?
That's what the Agur Molecha wants to say. That he thinks, I think he is machalik, that at least the two parts of the Chamudei Daniel, so it became Mekubal, at least the part of the Chamudei Daniel of the passageway, to Mechayev, more so than the Chamudei Daniel of the closet. But some people do both. And some people do the Rabbi Akiva Eger with the closet. So there are a lot of different ways. But as I said, in Hilchos Mezuzah, you have to have a hachra. You understand? You have to have a hachra, which way it is. Or else, it's important to, a person's not ready to have Afra unless he's learning for many, 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 many years, and he did Shemush, and he's learning Halacha. You have to make your own Hachros. So you have to ask a Shaila to... But it's not because it's not a deer, it's not a deer shall cover. Understand? Now, we said before the halacha of mezuzah is derech knisa, because it says beisecha, derech biyoscha. So when you walk in, you walk with your right foot first. So derech biyoscha. What about us lefties? Any lefties here amongst us? I'm a lefty. Okay, I guess none of you are. Okay, it's okay. What can I tell you? Lefties, what can I say? So lefties have their, their rights. But one of the things is in Hilchos Mezuzah, we don't care about the lefties. We totally discriminate against lefties. And we say everyone has to put it on the right side going in. Even if you, because the whole idea of the right side is when you walk with your right foot first. But not everyone does that, especially if you're a lefty. I walk with your left foot first. And therefore, maybe you should put it on the left side. But no, that's the din. The din is nikba based on the righties. I guess it's nikba based on Rova Olam, I guess. Rova Olam, that's the way. And we don't say, well, let the righties put it on the right side and let the lefties put it on the left side. Why don't we do that? Rights of the lefties. Everyone wants their rights, Bismarck. Everyone claims they have rights and they want their rights. So the lefties, they should want their rights. So it doesn't work that way. The lefties, derech biyoscha means is it the Gemara, and it's the right side, and nothing else. And then you don't get anything otherwise. So that's why you have to figure out what's the right side. So how do you figure that out? So there are different shitas, but so you have two adjacent rooms, and it depends from which perspective you walk in your house. So you have a back door and a front door. If you're walking from the front door, this is the way you get back for the other door. So what's called derech nisa? How do you figure that out? So the different shitas. Some shitas, and this is the sheet that I follow, rov hiluch, what we call the flow of traffic. Whatever is the flow of traffic, the mezuzah goes in that direction on the right. Whatever the flow of traffic is. And the other sheet is that no, you go by which room, like Shatta pointed out the different sheets, you go about which room is used more frequently. So the two adjacent rooms, whichever room is used more frequently, then you look from the perspective of that room, now that's called the Knesset. So if you have two adjacent rooms, so that's the question. You go based on the traffic, which way, or do you go based on which room is used more frequently? And if the ever room is used more frequently, so then the room adjacent to that is considered a knisa into that room. So Rav Shechter pointed out that's a machlokes, the Minchas Yitzchak, and Rav Weiss, and Rav Reish, Kalkas Yaakov. So I follow the shita of derech hiluch. Whatever is the derech hiluch, that's the way you koveya. So whichever way the flow of traffic goes, you put it on the right side with that flow of traffic, which is the way you walk in the house. Which the way the balabais is the real mechayev, flow of traffic. And if you do it the other way, it's a question whether you're yotze or not. So what if the flow of traffic is equal? What do you do now? I mean, you know, Lonidah Torah Malacha Asharis. Exactly. You don't have to stand there with a calculator. How many times did you use this way? How many times did you go that way? You know, whatever. Be'erach, you know. So how, what's the tiebreaker? What's the tiebreaker when the flow of traffic is equal? So there is a Gemara Menachos, and the Gemara Menachos says that the tiebreaker is what's called Heker Tzir. Heker Tzir literally means that they used to have the door on a, used to have a vertical pole, and the door would rotate on that vertical pole, and the pole was put in the ground. Pole was put in the ground, like the hole of this, you know, that you'd make for a golf ball, you know. And which room would be that hole? It's going to be in this room or that room. So whichever room is that hole, that's considered the going into that room is considered the Knesset. But we don't have doors that way. So the way that modern day poskim define Heker Tzir is which way does the door open into? That's the Heker Tzir. Which way does the door go into? In other words, you have a door, you can open in and open out, right? So whichever way the door goes into, that's the Heker Tzir. But most poskim hold Heker Tzir is only a tiebreaker. In other words, if the hiluch is the same, and maybe the Shechel pointed out, the hiluch is the same, and the frequency of use of the different rooms are more or less the same. And the tiebreaker becomes what? Which way does the door open into? So whichever way the door opens into, that's considered the room on the right going into that way. What do you say? That's the tiebreaker. Who disagrees with this? And you should know, this is the only criteria that's explicitly articulated in the Gemara. This Heckert's here. You know the those that remember the old Beis Medrash? Those of the old Beis Medrash, you know. Hopefully we should one day be able to go in there in the Zeisman building. So do you remember the doors in the old Beis Medrash? How do they open the doors? Well, I can't hear you.
You push them in?
What?
The hallway, no?
Into the hallway. They open into the hallway. So which is the Heket Seer? Going to the hallway. So why do so? And the, where are the mezuzahs in the Beis Medrash? And the old Beis Medrash going where? Into the
going into to the hallway on the left. No, no.
The mezuzahs are what?
You go on the left. No.
They're on the right side going into the Beis Medrash. Why? Because that's clearly the Knesset. In other words, the Heket Seer is only if it's an ambiguity, which is the Knesset. So then we say, follow which way the door opens. But here there's no ambiguity. The Knesset is very clear that you go from the hallway into the Beis Medrash. The Knesset is very clear. So then you follow the Knesset. Even if the Heket Seer is telling you to put the mezuzah on the right side going into the hallway. But we said that it's only used as a tiebreaker. Here there's no tiebreaker. It's checkmate. It's pasha what the you know which is the derech hiluf and which is used more often. I mean, obviously the Beis Medrash is used more often than the hallway, you know. I mean, except for Minhag Chabad. Minhag Chabad, if you go to a Chabad institution and you'll see the way they put mezuzahs up, they will put it up solely based on Heket Seer. That one, except Rav Yehuda Marlow Zatzal told me, except for the outside door. Outside door, they'll put, even if it's going out, they'll put the mezuzah going in. But all the other rooms in the house, the Heket Seer will be the koveya, and that's it. And we say no. We say the Heket Seer is only used if everything else is equal. Then the Heket Seer is the tiebreaker. But if it's pasha, which way is the Knesset, then the Heket Seer plays no role. And Minhag Chabad is no, the Heket Seer is everything. They hold it's everything. It's a big chiddush. But if you'll next time you go into a Chabad building, you'll see. If you pay attention, you'll notice that. The mezuzahs. So if the Zeisman building would be a Chabad yeshiva, they would have all the mezuzahs going from the right on the right side, going into the hallway, and not going into the right side, going into the Beis Medrash, because Heket Seer is very big. That's their thing. Heket Seer is very the big thing for Chabad Heket Seer. But we only use it as a time. So let me ask you another question. And what if it's a sliding door? So there's no tiebreaker now. So you have all, everything stacked equally. There's equal Knesa, equal Yitzia, equal and there's no tiebreaker because either doesn't have a door or the door doesn't go in or out. It's like a sliding door. What would you say there, Moshe?
Can you go based on where the lock is?
Based on what?
Where the lock is, because we know lock would be from the lock to the sliding door would be on the inside, no?
Let me go. Lock. Which way on the inside? The lock.
It's usually if you lock the sliding door on the other side, you can't get in.
Right. And why should that be Koveya?
Doesn't make sense. That's their Knesa.
Because that shows the Knesa. Wherever the lock is, so that's the inside.
Yeah, same about any door. The lock is.
Yeah, but you have a lot of doors have locks on both sides. Right?
So you can't lock it from both sides then. Unless you have like a key on one side. One side you need a key, one side you can just undo it. I mean, it'd be Matsuya space, but I feel there are a lot of sliding doors have a lock on one side and the other side you can't even.
Interesting. So Ramosha Feinstein wrote a tshuva and he says, you know what? If there's no tiebreaker, then Me'ikar Adin, the door is Patur Mimezuzah. Because he says, B'chayiv Mezuzah is Derech Biyoscha. And it has to be Biyoscha HaNikeres. And if it's not Niker, which is the Knesa and which is the Yitzia, then that room does not have a Chiyuv Mezuzah. Wow, that's a svara. Rav Shechel said over here from Rav Belsky that a lot of times when Rav Belsky would ask Rav Moshe Shaila about that, this type of Shaila, so Rav Moshe would ask, so what do you do? And he said, okay, we put it this way. So, okay, so leave it that way. You know, so it's not like he, you know, but Me'ikar Adin, he really held that it's Patur from Mezuzah. That's interesting. But I think there's a lot of Svara. You know, Rav Moshe and his Truvas used a lot of Svara and a lot of Lumdus and a lot of Svara to his Truvas. Other Achronim didn't use that, but he was a big Bal Svara, Moshe. Big Bal Svara. Others he was a big Bal Machadish. I'll tell you a good story. It's good to have a good story once in a while. I'll tell you a good story. I heard this from Rabbi Moshe Tuchman, who heard this from Rav Reuven Feinstein. This is a good story. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he wasn't a man of many svarim. You see, I'm a man, I love the library, you know, fifth floor. You know, it was very hard for me for 7 months when the library was closed with COVID. It wasn't pushing. So somebody got us Otzra Chochma and my Talmud Rav Avraham Levitt, you know, would email me from the Otzra Chochma. So that's how we were able to survive the 7 months of COVID when the library was closed. But it wasn't a simple matter. But you know, even though I'm not Hungarian or I'm a shtickl Svardi. I don't know if you know that. My mother, she should live and be well, is Svardi. We're from Turkey, Istanbul, Dardanelles. We were, you know, from my father, Zichron Uvracha, we're Ashkenazi. So. But I have like the 50% Sephardic blood. You know, there's a lot of guys in YU, their father's Sephardi, mother's Ashkenazi. They only have 50% also. So just because they have it on the other side, I have 50% Sephardic blood. So I'm okay. So I'm proud of my 50% Sephardic blood that I have.
Yeah, I'm 100% Sephardi.
You're 100% Sephardic blood. Noch besser. Okay, what can I tell you? I'm 50%. So it's like this. So Rav Moshe didn't have so much farm. He had Shas, he had, you know, Shulchan Aruch, but he didn't have all, like his library was not the same as, say, Rav Avadi Yosef's library or something like that, you understand? A different type of mahalach and learning and psak halacha, etc. That's a certain. So Rav Moshe once was, they asked Hashem a shayla, and he came to a conclusion, psak halacha. But then he was neighbors in the Lower East Side with Rav Tuvia Goldstein. Tuvia Goldstein was a big posek, he was a Talmud of Rav Mochorin Wasserman. Then later in his life, he opened the yeshiva Emek Halacha in Barapak. He was a Rebbe previously in RJJ, the Lower East Side. So he was a big Baal Halacha, but he was very into Sfarim. So Rav Moshe said to Rav Tuvia, I got this shayla. Do you know any Sfarim that talk about this shayla that I got? So Rav Tuvia gathered together like five Sfarim, and he gave Rav Moshe the five Sfarim. And then Rav Moshe returned the Sfarim after he looked. So Rav Tuvia said, so what did you paskin on the Shaila? So Rav Moshe said, I paskin the Kula. And then Rav Tuvia says, so what are these Sfarim that I gave you? What did they say? He said, they all said L'chumr. So Rav Tuvia asked Rav Moshe, so I don't understand. If you were interested in what the Sfarim said, so why did you paskin against all the Sfarim? And you say, you know, like, obviously you cared what they said. That's why you were asking to borrow it. So Rav Moshe said a beautiful vort. He said like this. He said, I came up with a chiddush to be makom. So I wanted to see if any of the Sfarim came up with my chiddush and refuted it. And then if they refuted it and I liked their refutation, I would retract. But none of these Sfarim even came up with my Sfarim, the Kula. So therefore, I'm not mechuyev to be Machmer, because they didn't even think of this Sfarim, the Kula, and therefore, I passed the Kula. And that was the story. I think that's a very good story. But that's for Rav Moshe. You know, Rav Moshe was a big Bal Svara. But if you're Bal Svara, you know, you have to have the equal knowledge of the whole Shas, because maybe your Svar is going against a Beferish Gemara or something like that. So Rav Moshe Paskin and, you know, big Chomer Dike Halachas with Chidushim, with the confidence that he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, or else he wouldn't be able to say these Chidushim. Because he said Mamash Chidushim that no one ever said before. So that's Rav Moshe, you know, at the Levaya, Rav Moshe's Levaya, they were saying, you know, he was, I think Rav Nissen Alpert, his Talmud, Rav Moshe was from the, you know, the caliber of Chasam Sofer, the Noda Bihuda, you know, the great giants of, you know, and he could say Chidushim that are, you know, even Lakula, you know, original Chidushim. So this is an original chiddush. It's not his biggest chiddush that he's ever said, but we're doing Hilchos Mezuzah, so I figured I would tell it over to you. But it's a chiddush. I don't think anyone ever said this chiddush before, that it's the Talmud Potter. If you can't discern which is the Knesset and which is the Siyah, because everything is equal and there's no Hecher Tzir as a tiebreaker, so then it's Potter Lagamre. So that's not a big chiddush. Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, just a quick clarifying question. Is the Hecher Tzir the only tiebreaker in the sense that, like, if you hold Rov Hilach like you think, do you, if you can't tell Rov Hilach, do you do
Rov Hilach, or do you do... If Rov Hilach is equal, but then there's Rov Tashmish.
Okay, so that's what I was just saying.
That's a question I have to point out. Does Rov Tashmish come before Rov Hilach or Rov Hilach before Rov Tashmish? Different opinions. I follow based on Rav Chaim Kamel Gutman, based on the Rav Meir Arik, who was the Gadol of Galicia, that Rav Hiluch is more important, and that Rav Gutman points out, because the Hiluch is the Machayiv in Mezuzah, Derech Beisecha, Derech Bioscha. That's the Machayiv. So of course that should be the most important thing. That creates the Chiyuv. So to me, that's a compelling svar.
Right, but Rav Tashmish would come before Hecker Tzir.
Right, right. Okay. As Rav Shefer pointed out, right. Except if you're a Chabad. And then Chabad. But that was the whole question that they asked. How could you say it? Say that if the room opens up, how could you say that that's the you know, that's the Hiluch? You know. They say the Rebbe said, well, theoretically you can climb in through the window. So then if you're climbing in through the window, so that would be the, you know, but we generally assume that people usually don't climb in through the window. So we're not, you know, take the window into account. This was interesting, an old Chabad tradition. And you, next time you, as I said, next time you go into a Chabad house or something like that, you'll see that. You'll see that the mezuzahs are very, very different. Last week we read Parshas Balak, Matovu Olacha Yaakov, Mishknosecha Yisrael, which Chazal say is going on to the Batei Knesiosu Batei Midrashos. So nu, is a base Knesses or a base Medrash Chayev in Mezuzah or no? What's the Pashtus? What would you say?
It's not a Dira, so no.
Oh, so Brian says it's not a Dira. It's not a Dira.
Base Medrash is a little bit.
What?
Base Medrash is, no? Base Medrash is
a little bit. What's a base Medrash, Zaki?
Like a Dira a little bit, no? It's more of a Dira.
Yeah, so the Shach says that the only time it's shaykh to speak about it is the Beis Medrash, like in the yeshiva, where people are there most of the day. You know, in the shuls, I grew up in a shul, you know, in a big shul. And I'm sure some of you understand what I'm talking about. The big shul, the way they had it, was the room that people, they davened on Shabbos, was called the Beis Knesses. And then during the weekday, they wouldn't use that room because it was too big. So they would use another room for the weekday davening, and they would call that the Beis Medrash, right? I think you've seen that in your, right? So that has no halachic significance whatsoever. The fact that you call this the Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash. No, Beis Knesses means it's a mokum that's miyuchad for tefillah, and the Beis Medrash is a mokum that's miyuchad for learning. The fact that you're calling this one the weekday, you know, it has nothing to do with, that's just became colloquial usage of those terms and not a halachic usage. So really, a base Knesset and a base Medrash really should be putter, like Brian said, because it's not Makom Dira. But the Shach says that there's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Pei Vav Siv Yud that says the Beis Medrash is chayv in mezuzah. And he says, nochan lochash l'divreim, v'hol yivarch aleha, that the Shach says it's only, says the Shach, if it's a place, kem shatalmidim yoshvim bo mehaboker v'ad erev, do meladira. It's a place where the talmidim are there from night, from morning to night. But in a regular shul there, you call it the Beis Medrash. They're there for half an hour in the morning to daven, and then the chamar of another half an hour. So that doesn't have a standard of a Beis Medrash. So it wouldn't be, in other words, there are 2 days, and even the Beis Medrash, the first day in Shulchan Aruch says Beis Medrash is potter mezuzah. And the Beis Knesses, the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Pei Vav Gimel, it depends whether somebody lives there. If you have to, you live in the shul. You know, when I grew up, This is, you, most of you guys probably didn't see this in your lifetime so much, that every big shul had what was called a shamus. You know what a shamus is? A shamus was that the shuls usually had a rabbi, a chazan, and a shamus. The shamus was usually a European person who didn't speak English so well, so he couldn't be the rabbi of the shul. And it, unfortunately, it wasn't the person that got the most covered in the shul. You know, he was the shamus. He used to give out the yahrzeit cards. He would mail the yahrzeit cards so people should know when their yahrzeit is. He would buy the lulav and esrogs for the people, and he would sometimes be the balkorei, and he would learn with the balabatim, you know, mishnayos or ein yaakov between mincha ma'ariv during the weekdays, and that was the shamus. And unfortunately, the cover that sometimes the shamashim deserved wasn't duly given to them, because they were, you know, weren't viewed as the same way. Sometimes they were bigger talmidei chachamim than the rav of the shul was. In fact, you should know, it's brought out, I think, maybe in the art school biography of Moshe, that when Moshe Feinstein came to America, all he expected to be in life was a shamus and a shul. He said, who am I? I'm European. He doesn't speak English. He can't give a drasha in English. Well, and we come to the America, you know, be a shamus and a shul. And Hashkacha had it that he wasn't just a shamus and a shul. Rav Yonason Steif, that, I don't know if you know that name. Rav Yonason Steif, you should learn about Rav Yonason Steif. He was one of the big rabbonim of in Williamsburg, a big, big goyim. So the Balabatim, he was supposed to be a shamus and shul, but the Balabatim opened up a new shul because they didn't feel it was kovedich for such a gadol to be just a shamus and shul. But that's what, when I was growing up, the shamus didn't live in the shul, but sometimes, the old days, he might have even lived in the shul, you know? So if you have somebody who lives in the shul, so then that's, then the shul, at least the room that he's living in, is a makam dira. But if you don't have a shamus, if you're not living in the shul, then it's not a makam dira. That's why another psak that Rav Abadi has in Hilchas Mezuzah is that he held that yeshivas don't need a mezuzah. This is not a makam dira. Yeshiva, what is it? Except for the dormitory. That was his psak. Except for the dormitory. It was the dormitory people, sleep there people. Right? But he says the rest you don't need a mezuzah. So there's one yeshiva in Lakewood that's the head of yeshiva was a Talmud of Rav Abadi. They don't have. Today, if you wouldn't have a mezuzah in the yeshiva, I don't know if people would, you know, they would be suspicious to go, you know. Or the same thing Rav Abadi would say about a chasen hall, you know. You wouldn't need a mezuzah. It's not a makam dira. But today we put chasen halls, all have mezuzahs. No one would trust the kashrus if you wouldn't have a mezuzah. But l'maisa, the minig is not to make a bracha, because it's not a real dira. You know, when they started, they had the big thing when the Chanukah Habayis of the Gluck building. So and President Joel, I think, affixed the mezuzah. So there was a whole question: what should he make a bracha? If not, make a bracha. I think he made a tova hametiv on the building in general, but not a mezuzah, because it's not a makom dira. So even if you want to, I'm minigus to be machmer, that we, in all Jewish mostos, we put up mezuzahs. So again, Rav Abadi is a purist. So a purist says, no, what are you talking about? It's not a makom dira. The Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Dalet, mezuzah is a chovas adar. It's not a makom dira, so you shouldn't... I think they say from Rav Yashin, they say from Shfos Yitzchak, they could be different types of dira. Maybe there's a dira where you eat and drink and sleep, but there could be a dira where people, you know, use. But Ravai says, no, dira is kipshuto. So it's not a mokum dira. So Ravai, that yeshiva, they didn't put. So the minig is the put. What can I tell you? But probably you shouldn't make a bracha unless it's a real dira. Yeah. Sam?
Is how do we define how often a person sleeps there? Like, if you want to use sleeping as a form of dira. Like, SAR High School, twice a year, there will be, like, a Shabbaton where kids sleep in the building. But that's only twice a year.
Right. So, right. Mustaba means betadiris, you know. Or at least it's structured that, you know, that you could potentially, you know, there's bedrooms there, there's, you know, and you use it. If you just decide that twice a year we're going to put sleeping bags on the gym, in the gym, and have people have a Shabbaton there and something like that, it's not going to change it into a Malchum Deer. So that's, and the same thing about, you know, a lot of people in their offices, they want to know, do they need a mezuzah in the office? So as Ravai said, mikudin, certainly not. Again, it's not a makom dira, even though, you know, needless to say that certain professions, like certain lawyers, they spend more time in their law office than they do in their own home, you know, but Lamaisa, by its way, it's still not a deer. You know, even though a deer is a deer. It's not a deer. So again, everybody's a purist. So he would say, you know, don't put up a mezuzah. So everyone else is not as a purist. They'll still, you know, maybe it's, well, you know, you eat lunch there. You know. So, people, but sometimes people are looking for a kula, not to have to put a mezuzah on their door because, I don't know, the circumstances of the clientele there. So there could be, you know, as far as lahakel, very much, because it's not, you know, it's not like you're trying to get out of a real chiyuv, you know. That's why the Rosh has the famous story of the Barami Rutenberg, that he would learn the whole day in the Beis Medrash, and then he would try to, like, doze off in the afternoon, and there was a shade that used to bother him as he couldn't fall asleep. And then he put a mezuzah up, and the shade went away. So Rav Abadi always, he would ask me, like, what's the trap? I mean, if there's a real chiyuv, so why did he put it up in the beginning? If there's no chiyuv, why is he putting it up now? He was never comfortable with that story with the Maharani Rutenberg, because, you know, how does it work with the strict halacha? Right? It's a quote, but it's quoted in the Rush. The Ruach Ra used to avalbil him, and he couldn't get a little afternoon. Nap. So that's the story. Okay, Rabosai. Okay, so we're on Bez Hashem for tomorrow at the same time. Okay. Let me just say hello to everybody. And Brian, Chernikov, and Rafael Jacobs. Where are you from, Rafael?
I'm from Inglewood, New Jersey, Rebbe. Okay.
Jacobs. I knew Jacobs. Englewood.
I'm the first Talmud at the yeshiva from the family. I don't know if
it's already. So, okay. And Noam Davidovitz, you're from where?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. Wow. I spent Shabbos in Memphis, Tennessee.
Recently?
Yeah. No, a long time ago. We were by Reverend Ephraim Greenblatt's house.
Been a while then, yeah.
My friend Steve Wild married Yael Spiegler, and we were there for that Shabbos. myself, Rabbi Sokolovsky, a couple of other people, and Yosef Roth in the Guard Hills. I discussed that.
I'm in Paraguay now, actually.
You're in what?
Far Rockaway.
Far Rockaway,
yeah.
Okay. Tovia Slager, I know where you live. And Sam. And where are you now, Sam? Where did you tell me? Where you
were? Riverdale.
And Isaac Dayan, where'd you go? Okay. And Moshe, Mark, you're from where?
Originally, I'm from Woodmere, and now I'm living in Paraguay.
Okay. Very nice. Okay, so hopefully Bez Hashem will see you all tomorrow. And okay, if you have any questions on what we did today, and you want to, start off with a question, these are some important yesodos from Hilchos Mezuzah. Maybe we'll start. What do you think about mezuzah in an elevator? Maybe think about that. Maybe we should start the shiur tomorrow with mezuzahs by elevators, and you tell me what you think. So put in some thought, and then maybe you remind me, we should open the shiur just having that discussion. Mezuzahs in an elevator. Okay, Ramose, we'll be well. Have a good day. Good night. Kol tov. Nice to see you, Rabbi.
Sorry, Rabbi, Rav Simon, wouldn't it just be a straight application of the Chamudei Daniel?
Okay, so maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, you feel good? I just... Well,